Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
Coming from that small town, it made me realize that there's so much out there. And, you know, that was a huge motivating factor for me early on, was just traveling and going to see the world in different cities and exploring. So it definitely has been an incredible 4 years of doing so. And I always say this too, like, I've traveled more, and this isn't like, you know, something that's selfish. I've traveled more over the past 4 years than I think my entire family for generations has traveled ever, which is crazy to think about, but it's the reality. So it's just so cool to think back on like that young 15-year-old Casey that had these ideas to go see the world and to not only become an entrepreneur, but to experience more than what he thought he could achieve.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, it was a very special treat. He's a speaker, author, and badass entrepreneur. After nearly becoming paralyzed during a football injury, he started his personal development journey, turning pain into purpose and exploding his personal brand. He's now a social media expert and host of the phenomenal show, Rise of the Young, where he's interviewed some of the all-time greats, such as the legendary Larry King. At 21 years young, he's on absolute fire and is the co-founder and CEO of Media Kits. He's just an overall juggernaut in all facets of life and a terrific human being. Please welcome the innovative and amazing young prince, Casey Adams. How you doing, Casey?
Wow, what an intro. Thank you so much for having me on today, Craig. I'm excited to be here.
My pleasure, brother. I take great pride in those. I hope I did good by you. This is the first time.
Incredible.
It was good?
Yeah, that was incredible.
This is the first time you and I connected. We had you on our weekly show, The Paradigm Shift, with our mutual friend, Dave Meltzer. We had so much fun. I felt an instant connection. And I've been a fan of yours for a little while. So I'm super excited today. I know you got your own show as well. This one will be fresh. It'll be different. And most importantly, provide a ton of value.
Absolutely.
Before we start at the beginning, because the audience loves to get a feel for the journey, the podcast is exploding. They always want to hear about the beginnings. We'll start off and we'll have fun. We'll get a little weird. You ready to get weird?
Let's go.
Casey, what is your superpower?
Oh my goodness. I love this question. And, you know, when I think about what is my superpower, I actually try to ask myself that question quite frequently. And I think it's changed over time. But I think right now and how I analyze things, especially over the last 6 months with the close of our seed round for Media Kits, I've realized that my superpower is not only just building relationships, but nurturing relationships with a purpose to bring value to the relationship, right? And I say that so intentionally because I've met a lot of people over the years through the podcast, through events, and the people that have stuck around in my life that I've been able to learn from, like Dave and our investors in my company, it was always the people that, you know, it started off as a great interaction and then evolved into a true friendship and or mentorship, and it has developed into much more. And I think now reflecting on that, I would say my superpower is just being able to build quality relationships with the intention to provide value to both parties that are in there. So I hope that makes sense.
Buddy, that's gripping. I love that answer. And it's so true. It's something I also take pride in. Like, it's one thing to meet somebody, like take a cool photo and put whatever the case may be.
But
to be able to provide value to them where it's mutually beneficial. And then that obviously turns into a friendship. That's what it's all about. Everything is about relationships. I love that you touch upon that.
Absolutely.
Casey, describe yourself in three words.
Whew. In three words. I would say happy, committed, and grateful.
Three gems right there. I love how artistic you were with each one.
And I'd love to break them down too, because I think it's super, super important, you know? So for me, and I always hear this from my friends and my family where they're like, you're the happiest person we know. And you know, at the end of the day, everyone has bad moments with, where they go through terrible things. You know, for me, maybe it was my neck injury or a hard day in business, right? And I'm not saying I'm always happy 100% of the time, but I think the combination of true gratitude every single day has allowed me to be in a very like neutral yet happy state every single day. And I think that's extremely powerful because, you know, I come from a small town in Richmond, Virginia, and you know, I grew up from with two older brothers. My mom and dad, you know, they had no entrepreneurial background, right? My mom was a teacher, my dad, or a special ed aide, I should say, and my dad worked at a company, Philip Morris, which is the big tobacco company. Yep. And I think I had very humble beginnings, and I think gratitude was instilled in me from the day I was born. But I think over time, of especially over these last 4 or 5 years, as I've traveled the world and I've spoken at different events and I've met incredible people, right? It's easy to let those things like become your identity and to change you. But I think for me, it really just comes down to staying focused on what's important, right? Like my family, my relationships in my life, my continued success and multiple pillars of life, health, wealth, love, and happiness. And I think if I can wake up every day and have true gratitude with my health, with the, you know, the impact I'm making in my community, but also my continuous pursuit and the consistent pursuit of who I am, I think that's something that is always occupying my mind. And if I was to say those three words again, happiness, committed, and grateful, I think those are always steering me to multiple endeavors in my life. And that's something that I would heavily, you know, put a stamp of approval on.
Casey's got gems today. This is so valuable to the audience. I'm legitimately moved about what you just said because, you know, gratitude, especially like in our space, it's cliche, right? Everyone says be grateful, but the way you just put it into context, like literally waking up every day, opening your eyes, and like there's always something to be thankful for, and you can't really be thankful and miserable at the same time. So if you put yourself intentionally in that frequency, then you are happy. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, totally. And I think it's truthfully, it's hard to have one without the other. Those two words. I think if you're grateful, your happiness comes, you know, in doses very frequently, because if you can take a situation and just be grateful that you're going through that, positive or negative, you know, people always ask, like, living a life where you are unhappy every single day is the ultimate failure to me, right? You could have the most money in the world or have nothing, but if you are just happy and, you know, you can be excited about life, excited about what you're working on, excited about the people in your life, and happiness comes from that, I think it fulfills and only helps you move quicker in any endeavor. For me, it's business, right? For someone else, maybe it's they're in school or they want to become a professional athlete, right? Like, just maintaining that mindset of gratitude is the key to, I think, all of my early successes and how I've gotten to where I am, which is at the end of the day, just the beginning. But just living in that mindset is very, very important to me.
Yeah. So deep, brother. I absolutely love this. Only negative. The only thing that's going on for me right now that's negative is that we don't have 10 hours to chat. Like we were saying before we went on air, hope to connect when you're in Manhattan later this month.
Totally.
Yeah. Casey, what's something weird about you that a lot of people might not know?
Oh, weird about that people may not know. This is great. I love these questions.
Great.
Let me think. I think there's so many ways I could take this. Weird.
Take your time.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I have to get juicy.
Weird. I think for me, and you know, it's so weird because it's interesting, I should say, where when I think about being weird, I think it's things that you might not know are weird, but other people might think of as weird. So I'm going to try to go down that road and identify it. I think for me growing up, something weird that I now reflect on is I was always, and I feel like still to this day, living as if I was older. And I don't want to say that's necessarily weird, but I think some people could frame it that way, where I was the youngest of three brothers. I was 3 years old playing on a hockey team with 5 to 8 year olds or 6 to 8 year olds. And then when I was 10 years old, I was playing with 15, 16 year olds. And I always excelled. But when I would reflect on it, even when I was younger, I'm like, why am I doing this? Right? Like I watch, and I'll break this down in depth as well, but it's like, I would watch other teams that maybe I should be playing on the 8 to 10 year old team with all my core friends, but I had 2 older brothers and I tried to excel and push myself. So I'd always just play up, right, in the different league, in the different school or whatever it may be. And people always told me that's weird. They're like, why are you doing this? Or, you know, you're going to get injured. You're selling yourself short. You can't focus on the fundamentals. You have to, you know, move quicker, think faster, do all those things that, you know, is more challenging. And I think it doesn't necessarily go down the exact rabbit hole of weird, but I think it's unconventional. Same thing with like how I'm one of 3 brothers. I moved out of my hometown right when I turned 18. Like the month after I graduated high school, I moved from Virginia to Scottsdale, Arizona with some of my best friends. We got this place together. We were working out of this entrepreneurial house. And I think looking back on that too, I'm like, that was very weird to do, right? Like, not in the sense of like weird and can get like quirky about how I live my life, but just something in my life that looking back, I'm like, wow, that was a weird situation, a weird transition, but it's overall got me to a place where I am now living in LA and California. And that transitioning period was not just interesting, but I learned so much. But I'm happy to dive deeper into more personal things as well, but those two came to my mind.
Yeah, I love when we get deep and you put context to this stuff. It gives the audience like a visual, and I appreciate you pulling back the curtain on that one, Casey.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll ask one more fun and weird one, and then we'll dive in and we'll jump around a little bit to the beginning. I love to ask this question from people that I admire and I respect, just like I do you, because everyone has a different answer. What is your definition of success?
What is my definition of success? I think my definition of success, and not even that I think, my definition of success is living up to your true potential and pushing the limit in which that potential is, right? Because I think any level of success, right? If you go to the gym, you could have like, oh, this is my potential. But no, like you need to have aspirational figures that you look up to as like, this is what I can achieve because I'm no different than them. So I think living up to the ultimate, your ultimate potential is by my definition, success. And, you know, every single day I reflect and I'm like, wow, I could be doubling down here. I could be doing better in my podcast. I could be hiring, you know, more people quicker and scaling faster, where I think every day that you don't think like that, you're lacking from moving forward and becoming successful, right? If you live a life of just complacency and everything's fine and I don't want to grow, then to me, that's failure, right? Like every single day, you should be trying to do more. You should be trying to learn more. And I think if you do that over a consistent period of time for years and years and years and decades, then you'll look back and say, wow, like I am the most successful through my pursuit of my potential. And something that Dave Meltzer always says, right? Like the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. Shout out to Dave Meltzer. And I think that's so aligned with how I think about things. But also too, from a side note, I think true success is having the people in your life happy for you and excited for you, right? Like if I was to do something in business that was wrong or that people didn't agree with and my family just hated my guts, that would not be success. Even if it, you know, if it was something that was selfishly great for me, I think success is fulfillment for yourself, but also doing things the right way, having integrity, being transparent and living a life where you feel comfortable with every single individual in your life when it comes to the quality of relationships, you know, like don't do people wrong, like be fair, all those different keywords that represent integrity. I think if, you know, focusing on that is by my definition, a successful human being with multiple variables, but to me, that's super important.
I dig that answer and I agree with you 100%. And I want to acknowledge you for a second, like all these fun questions that in the beginning that we always do, like, you put so much thought and effort into answering each one. You take it so serious. No, it's something to be said for that. And I respect that. And it's just, it's a reflection on you and how passionate you are. I want to acknowledge that.
Thank you so much, Greg.
So we'll jump around a little bit. The audience, like I said, loves to get a little bit of background. You grew up in a very small town in Virginia. Is that accurate?
Yes. It's called Chesterfield County, Virginia. Born and raised, lived in the same house.
Chesterfield.
Yeah, Chesterfield, let's go. Yes, very small community. You know, everyone knows everyone. My brothers and I went to the same elementary school over the years, same middle school, same high school. And, you know, it's all I knew, right? And like, I think most importantly, I didn't, and I always love saying this, like, I didn't grow up traveling on a plane. I didn't travel on a plane until I was 16 years old and I could buy my first plane ticket because I was doing some affiliate marketing and social media marketing services for my clients. And, you know, when I think back on my hometown, Chesterfield County, like, yes, I would do some road trips, like to New Jersey or North Carolina or Tennessee where my family is. But up until I was like 16, I didn't go anywhere else besides like this very small region in America. And, you know, it was always a dream of mine to go out west and visit, you know, these different cities. And I think growing up in a small town, you kind of don't realize the world is so big and where you're from is just this small little drop in the bucket. And for me, it was like getting over consumed of like, there has to be more out there. Right. And I think it comes from a perspective of both my older brothers. They ended up going to community college. Then they dropped out. They still live in Virginia. And I always tell them this, like I tell them this exact statement. I say, I learned so much from you guys, me being the youngest, of, you know, what to do, how to treat people with respect and how to live a quality of life, but also what not to do, right? Whether that's them going to school and then dropping out and then, you know, not risking things like starting a business or doing something that might be uncomfortable, where right when I got injured playing football, and, you know, and we can dive into the story, when I was in a neck brace for 6 months and very depressed, I had this time on my hands where I couldn't go play sports. I was stuck at home and I was forced to just consume different things, whether that was content on Instagram or TV shows. And when I started stumbling across personal development and like self-growth, I was asking myself these questions, Craig. And I was like, why can't I, you know, go move to LA? Why can't I go travel the world? Why can't I go meet these incredible people for a podcast that I didn't even know I was going to start at the moment? But I was just so obsessed with growth and breaking the boundary of where I come from, because I didn't know anyone like where I'm from that traveled outside of the country, that like, had a passport, that would go on these trips. And, you know, you go on Instagram and you start to get inspired by people and you're like, wow, like the world is so big. Why can't I build a life that I'm proud of, that I can excel in, that opens up doors of opportunity for what I want and what's possible. And I think, again, to your question, like coming from that small town, it made me realize that there's so much out there. And, you know, that was a huge motivating factor for me early on, was just traveling and going to see the world in different cities and exploring. So it definitely has been an incredible 4 years of doing so. And I always say this too, like I've traveled more, and this isn't like, you know, something that's selfish. Like, I've traveled more of the past 4 years than I think like my entire family for generations has traveled ever, which is crazy to think about, but it's the reality. So it's just so cool to think back on like that young 15-year-old Casey that had these ideas to go see the world and to not only become an entrepreneur, but to experience more than what he thought he could achieve.
Nutrition Solutions offers the best healthy meal prep options for health, wellness, weight loss, and improved performance. The customer service and support at Nutrition Solutions is unbelievable and second to none. And when I travel for my marathons, the meals are waiting at my hotel. I don't even have to break a sweat. Even their protein donuts and breakfast items are made with fresh organic ingredients. I love Nutrition Solutions' reliability, quality, and all-around lifestyle that they represent, which is world-class. To get both physically and mentally fit, go to nutritionsolutions.com and use promo code CLS25. Thank me later, you dig. Yeah, just a couple things from that. Number one, you built this life by design, right? Like you love the intro that I gave you, but technically you wrote it. So I want to close to that. But like, you know, when I started studying neurolinguistic programming or NLP, like I learned how to change my perspective on what's possible. Like kind of like the movie, The Matrix, like when you become unplugged, you could see more for yourself and there's really no limits, like all in the quantum and all that stuff. But you growing up in a small town and kind of being conditioned, and you said your family like didn't really travel and stuff, like, and your siblings went to community colleges, like it could have easily gone the other way, right? You could have easily just never left that town and that's all you knew, but you were very curious and you looked at the world from a different angle. That's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. And I think about that all the time. I'm like, because, you know, actually I asked myself, like, why did I decide to pivot into what I'm doing now over the course of years, right? Like, I was this young, depressed kid in a neck brace after getting injured playing football, and my identity just instantly shifted, right? I was this young, motivated guy playing football, sophomore in high school. You know, in a little background, right? I was an athlete my entire life, and sports was instilled in me from a young age. I played hockey for 10 years. Since I was like 3 years old, I picked up a hockey stick and, you know, started rollerblading around. So hockey was a huge part of my life and leadership and team building. And then I played lacrosse and I played football. And when I got injured, like, everything was just taken away from me in terms of my identity, how I live my life day to day, you know, going to school, going home, going to practice, coming home, that whole circuit of life. Right. And when I was forced to just reflect and in my room depressed, I was like, I had no agenda to say, hey, I want to go, you know, become a motivated individual and get through this negative situation. I was just in that negative situation, blinded by my reality of uncertainty and more so depression at the time. But it was through my, I think, innate curiosity, as you said, where one of my early mentors is Ty Lopez. I'm sure you know Ty, but it was really when I was 16 years old, I was in my bedroom watching YouTube videos, and, you know, I see this YouTube ad, right? It's Ty talking about health, wealth, love, and happiness. And at the time, I was a healthy guy. I wasn't wealthy in any sense. I come from a very modest upbringing. And I was unhappy, right? So he's talking about these different quadrants and pillars of life. And I was curious, right? He's talking about his mentors and the different books that he's read. And prior to that time, I wasn't a natural reader. I didn't go out of my way to dive into books and to learn all this stuff about business or about, influential people in the world. So I ended up clicking on this ad, learning more about Ty, what he's doing. And long story short, I get involved with his 67-step program. It was like $60. I remember my good friend and I, we both split it like $30 that we've saved up, right? And then we just dove in head first into what he talked about in the sense of the 67 steps, right? And these were like ideologies and philosophies from mentors in his life and principles that he's learned throughout the years. And that led into me learning, getting involved in this social media program. And right, like, you know, 6 months into that, after I'm coming out of my neck brace, I'm learning how to build a personal brand on social media. I start following anyone from Gary Vaynerchuk to a good friend of mine, Gerard Adams, and Dan Fleischman, and all these incredible people that I'm sure you're very well aware of. And like 8 months into this self-development journey, you know, I'm putting out content on Instagram. I'm putting out book reviews on Snapchat. I was just sort of building this identity of self-development and regurgitating this incredible information that I was learning, which I stumbled upon by accident without an intention, but I just became obsessed. And then I love that. But then towards the end of 2016, really like the whole year of 2016 was like immersing myself in this new identity of like, wanting to learn more, be more, do more. And then I ended up meeting a young kid, now a good friend of mine, Caleb Maddox. I was 15, he was 14. And we're talking, he's like, hey man, I love your content, what you're doing, for your young community of, you know, a couple thousand people then maybe. And he's like, you should come out to San Diego and speak at an event with me. It's this young entrepreneur panel. I'd love to have you come out. You know, hotels are paid for. You just got to get out there. So there was this opportunity on the table that, you know, I thought was just like, wow, I have to be there. And then I remember going downstairs and pitching it to my parents, like, hey, can I go to this event in San Diego to speak on this stage, at this event with all these cool entrepreneurs? And initially it was no, that's crazy. They've never been to California. They've never traveled.
Sure.
I believe at the time since their honeymoon 25 years ago, almost 30 now. And I ended up going back upstairs and I was making some money at the time doing affiliate marketing and had a couple clients in my area. And I ended up just buying 2 plane tickets for my dad and I and go back downstairs and says, hey, we're going, right? And they agreed. So my dad and I ended up going to San Diego January 2017. And I tell this story because it's really the catalyst to this big ball of momentum that has built up over the years. And so I go to San Diego. Yeah. So I go to San Diego. It was literally 2 nights, very quick trip. Go to this event, meet a lot of people, like first time really at a networking event, shaking hands, introducing myself, trying to figure out like, how do I introduce myself, right? Like I've never been in these type of environments growing up. And it was an incredible experience, met some great people, And which, and I met people, most importantly, that I didn't realize were going to be such, so impactful throughout my life moving forward, right? Like Dan Fleischman, who's now an investor and a mentor of mine over the course of almost 4 years now, since that event initially. But I get home from this event and I'm, you know, just soaking up all the information that I learned, going over my notes. And I just have this gut feeling. I'm like, hey, I'm going to DM Ty Lopez and just let him know how grateful I am, going back to gratitude, how grateful I am for this new journey I just experienced. So I sent him a message, something along the lines of just, hey, Ty, you know, 8 months ago, I was depressed and neck brace, had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. As of yesterday, I just got back from an incredible event in San Diego. I spoke alongside Dan Fleischman and Caleb Maddox and a couple of names that I, you know, he was following that he knew. Just wanted to say thank you so much for inspiring me the way you have, Ty. Not expecting response, about an hour or so later, he DM'd me back and says, you know, thanks so much for the message. How are you almost paralyzed? Just a very short-ended question. So I sent him this little quick paragraph and he's like, oh, this is very cool. Like, how my program seemed to really help you. You should come out to LA and shoot a video with me. Text me. So I'm like, wow. He's like, he got back to me. Great. That was like my first time engaging with someone that I was following that was more of a mentor figure in my life. And I ended up texting him. And then 2 weeks later, since I just got back from this incredible life-changing event in San Diego, he's flying my mom and I out to Los Angeles, California, puts us up in a hotel. We spent a couple of days with him at his house doing testimonial videos and just, I'm really sitting in on this event that he's having. And I tell that story because ever since that time, it proved to me that going the extra mile, sending that message, going to that event, believing and betting on that uncertainty of like, oh my God, I'm about to spend X, like a couple hundred dollars on these flights. This is a lot for me, right? But doing it and going with what makes you feel uncomfortable, I instantly felt a reward and a payoff from latching on to uncertainty, where almost every single month in 2017, I met some great people at that event with Ty. I was going out to Los Angeles, like skipping days of school, flying out to LA for two nights, staying in a hotel or staying with a friend I met, going to some events that I heard were happening. And I just started doing that consistently over there, really all 2017. And then towards the end of 2017, that's really when I started my podcast, right? I had all these relationships and people that I was meeting, good friends of mine. And that's initially when the idea for starting a podcast came to be. But I want to tell that story because it really is not only important to me, but it was the backbone of seeing what's possible from the earliest stages that really lit a fire under me, which motivated me to keep going, to say the least.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for diving deep and sharing that. And I think we share a common trait, and it might come across as weird, but obsessed, right? Like when you went down that rabbit hole, when you were first introduced to personal development and what's possible and seeing like a different lifestyle and so forth, like you went down the rabbit hole, right? Like you booked those like you did the thing, yeah. Like all that's, it's the best, right? Like I can't get enough of personal development. Like anytime I can learn anything new or be around people that are having success, like, can I just get one idea or you know, shaking hands, all the things, like it's so much fun. It's so rewarding. I completely understand where you're getting at.
Yup, that is absolutely accurate. Dynamic billionaire Mark Cuban has dropped his brand new passion project, 3 Commas Coffee. For the motivated and driven entrepreneur. Their coffee is direct trade organic Colombian coffee, which is made from only the finest coffee beans and comes in both whole bean and ground of decaf, both absolutely delightful and off the charts. Each bag of coffee has a motivational message from Mark Cuban himself. 3 Commas Coffee is also available by the pound and single serve with foil bags for everyone from hospitality to corporate accounts. Sounds unbelievable, right? Get this. Solely for the CLS community, they're doing free shipping. Go to 3commas.com and use the code MARCHMADNESS at checkout. Thank me later, you dig?
Absolutely.
And I don't want to lose momentum with where we're going because this is gold. But in case the audience might not be familiar, just touch upon how the injury occurred, which kind of led you to where you were immobile for a while and then started going on Instagram and seeing all the stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So my injury, it's called interspinous ligament damage. That's what it ended up being. But at the time of the injury, I'll kind of break down the story. I remember it was such a clear day. It was the first day of hitting practice during the football season, where the first day you're getting your pads, you're getting your helmet, you're getting all, you know, putting your gear on. And that's when you start doing the fun drills, right? So the whole team goes down to the field, and there's this drill called the B drill, which, you know, two players just go head to head. And when the whistle blows, you try to take the other person down. And as I was taking this, my teammate down, he sort of spun me, and unknowingly my helmet was loose. And if people are watching this, my helmet sort of tilted back, where the back of the helmet was pressed against my spine, and my chin strap was like up near my nose. And when I landed on my back and hit my head on the ground, the doctor then said it guillotined my spine, to say the least. But, you know, thinking back, it wasn't one of those injuries where that happened and I was rushed to the hospital and, you know, my life was falling apart. It was something that happened that was very painful. And, you know, I stopped practice that day. It definitely was in pain. Go to the doctor the next morning, because I wake up and I could not move my head in any direction. It was just severe pain if I tried to move it a centimeter. And I get to the doctor, I do an x-ray, and this was me just being young and ignorant about the situation. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in here and, you know, I'll be fine in 2 weeks and I'll be back on the field in no time and I'll be good to go, right? That was my confidence speaking as someone that's just excited about the season ahead. Do the x-ray, and then I'm waiting for the doctor to come in. He walks in, I'm with my mom, and he says, I have some good news and I have some bad news. The good news is you are not paralyzed and you avoided something that could have been catastrophic to the rest of your life. The bad news is you are diagnosed with interspinous ligament damage. You have to be in a neck brace for almost the next 6 months, depending on how the symptoms continue. And there's a high likelihood that you will never be able to play football ever again. And that's how he said it. And I remember in that moment, truthfully, all that kind of just like went in one ear and out the other, right? I'm like, okay, I got to wear this thing for, I thought, you know, a couple of weeks, et cetera. But it ended up being something that walking out of there, it all just hit me. I'm like, this doctor just told me I can never play football again. You know, 24 hours ago, I was on the field, excited about the season, sophomore in high school, amped up, the friends, the coaches, the team. And then instantly that was all just taken away.
And that was your identity at that time, right?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, just to wrap up the story. Like, being at the time 15, my entire existence and identity was attached to sports, to football, to that team. And at the time I was unaware, but that's when self-discovery started happening, right? I had all this time where I was usually playing sports or thinking about sports or getting ready for the game, and it was just empty, which caused depression and anxiety and frustration. I remember getting angry at my parents and screaming at them for, like, why am I going through this? Like, the whole thing, right? And, you know, looking back, it was the most beautiful blessing in disguise. But, and I say this with utter confidence, I would not be doing what I'm doing now, thinking how I'm thinking now, if it wasn't for that injury. And truthfully, I don't know where I would be, right? Like, I had one of my goals was to go to UVA and to, you know, go there for college and maybe play lacrosse or maybe just go study business. And through that experience, I just found very high quality mentors through social media, through, you know, the internet, that slowly but surely shifted my perspective on the world. And that compounded momentum just created this entire new identity in my life. And I just committed to it. Not, like, there was always a plan A moving forward that injury, never plan B, as soon as I, you know, went down the rabbit hole, like you said.
It took that divine intervention. Like I said earlier in the conversation, I don't believe in a coincidence. Everything happens for a reason. And obviously look at you now, but it's just so crazy. And again, like, you did so much homework with the personal development stuff when you first got introduced. Number one, just to backtrack for a second, another choice you could have made was victimization forever, but eventually that surpassed it and you went on your journey. But so many people do a lot of homework, just like you and I do, but then they fail to execute, right? They fail to take action. They kind of go like this, like they watch all the things and they get all this knowledge, but what is knowledge information really, right? It's potential power, so to speak, but not for you. You were ready to make moves and you had a sense of urgency.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. I think this too, and for the audience, is so valuable. Like, you can listen to all the podcasts, you could read all the books, but you have to create some sort of strategy to take action. And again, it's never the perfect time, right? It doesn't always have to be pretty. Show up messy if you have to, but just show up. And even like you, like reaching out, DMing people, this kind of thing. Look what that led to. Eventually, yeah, you had the honor of interviewing the great Larry King.
Absolutely. And even hearing that, like, it still blows me away that not only I was able to interview and sit down with Larry King, but the sequence of events over years that took place to put me in a position to even have that opportunity, right? Excuse me. And, you know, reflecting on it real quick, I wanted to point out something that I think is so important in this conversation is just what you said about timing. And it's important because more recently it's came full circle, and it's in regards to my company Media Kits and the recent fundraise we did. So over the years of having a podcast and meeting all these great people, you know, I'm always asking myself, why am I doing this? Right. And over time and over the first 6 to 12 months, you know, yes, you can make money with a podcast directly from advertisers. Yes, it's great for your personal brand. But for me, from the earliest stages, it's always been about meeting the right people, asking the right questions, learning something from that. But most importantly, how can I continue to bring value to these people, and how can they help me along my journey? Whether that's as a mentor, me, you know, asking them a quick question over text and getting their feedback and that's it, or a phone call, or in this case that I'll dive into next, being an investor or an advisor for my company. And, you know, over the years I've had many ventures, but with Media Kits, it's a software tool that I know we'll get into that we just raised $1 million for. We closed the seed round about a week and a half ago now. Our good friend Dave Meltzer is involved. Shout out to Dave. He was actually the first angel investor, which is incredible to say. But when I ask myself nowadays, like, you know, why did I have the podcast over the past 4 years? It was to put myself in a position that when I have that idea, when I have that product or service that I want to make into a venture scale company and bring on the best of the best, that I can do that not only quickly, but efficiently with people that know, like, and trust me, right? So, you know, over the years, I don't like to say, like, yeah, the podcast has been, you know, what's made me all this money. It's like, no, it's built all these incredible relationships that have put me in a position, not only just to go raise money, because I don't think raising money is something to celebrate, but the potential to have efficient capital and people on your team that are betting on you, betting on the idea. It's come full circle now that when I tell this story of, you know, I like to say, having a podcast for the past 4 years helped me raise $1 million in 6 months, right? And for a lot of early founders, especially being 21 years old, that's not only challenging, but you have to have the experience or the people in your corner that can help speed up that process. And for me and my company and my teammates, without my dedication of the past 4 years of those, you know, 30-minute, 45-minute conversations, we wouldn't have been able to raise capital so quickly. And most importantly, have the right people and how we see it on our team. And I think that goes for anything in life, whether that's your podcast or starting a business or launching anything, right? Your personal brand, you might not see a definitive result for years in terms of something that you can reflect on and say, wow, that's why I did that, right? Like, that's why I started putting out content. That's why I wrote that book. Same thing, right? Like, going on a tangent a little bit.
No, I love it.
One of my favorite interviews, and I want to bring his name up, was with Robert Greene. You know, the author of the 48 Laws of Power. And
one of my favorite, very controversial, but one of my favorites.
Absolutely. For sure. But I want to dive into, like, his story where he was 36 years old, broke, living in a small apartment in LA. And he had this desire to go write a book and to, you know, he was studying human nature of his entire life, but it didn't come full circle until, like, very more, you know, people would say later in life, right? His 40s, where he published a book and became an international bestseller, wrote the 50th Law with 50 Cent, and all these incredible things started happening for him. I think he talks about it very, very clearly, just regarding not only patience, but how he's become, in my eyes, like a philosopher in his own right about the laws of human nature. It came through years of getting rejected from his books that he wanted to write. And that goes for a lot of people I interviewed, and I know you can say the same, but speaking tactically on this question, like the podcast was something that has manifested this initial capital raise through the help of my co-founder, Kieran, and our incredible teammates and advisors. But it's something that I look back on. If I was to give myself advice at 15 years old, it's just keep doing what you're doing. Like, do it faster, do it quicker, and be urgent about it, because by the time you're now 21, you're able to do these things and you put yourself in a position to execute with incredible people in your corner.
Yeah, I love this. And thank you for sharing that story, Robert Greene. I've always been a fan. I love the 48 Laws of Power. I know he wrote another one about seduction, which is applicable to many things. And it's such a cool story. Yeah, like it takes a while. It doesn't always come full circle, but that's why you start now, right? And
yeah,
put one foot in front of the other and you keep getting to work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so valuable. I love all this, but I could talk to you for the next 10 hours. But if I could I wanted to ask you this because I'm just curious. I've interviewed a tremendous amount of successful people I've looked up to over the years, which is really pretty surreal and cool. I know you have as well, especially you. You've been doing it a little bit longer and so forth. Amongst all the greats, all the legends, what's something really fascinating that you find to be a common denominator between all of them when you interview them?
Yeah, that's an incredible question. And, you know, for the audience, for context, I know we got into a couple names, but I think it's important to level the playing field, right? So, you know, I started my podcast with the intention to interview great, high-level, successful people. And it started out just interviewing friends of mine that had social media marketing agencies to, you know, some of my early interviews that were monumental for the trajectory of my show were, his name's Chris Dramafaff, the owner of Young and Reckless. He's Rob Dyrdek's cousin, like an incredible entrepreneur. And then all the way to now people like Rick Ross and Elon Musk's mom and sister to the late Larry King, and dozens of incredible people in between. You know, I've had 12 different billionaires on the show. But now to your question of like, if I was to look at all the different people that I've interviewed and take away one key element across all of them, the most important thing is that everybody has a story. And I say that very intentionally, because when you see the end result of a lot of people, you know, it's hard to relate, right? When you see Rick Ross, you know, this incredible entrepreneur, but also musician that owns, you know, franchises all over the country, his alcohol brand, to Elon Musk's mom that, you know, technically put her son in a position through the challenges of life to go be the most extraordinary entrepreneur of this era, in my opinion, to someone like Robert Greene, who his books have been outlawed by prisons in the US because of how, you know, controversial it is for prisoners. Like, you learn that the end result is not what should be celebrated. It's the ability to, as you said, to get started, to really have a goal and a vision, whether that's something that you're clear on or uncertain on, but to just put things into action, because I think execution is underrated, right? People see what's happening. They listen to podcasts, they follow people on social media, but if you turn it off and look in the mirror, like, what are you doing? What story are you writing? And something that you said that really hit me was, you know, I was like, wow, that was an incredible bio that you read about me. And you said, man, you wrote it. Right. And I think that, like, that gave me the chills when you said that, because not only is it true, but it's how you need to be thinking about the actions you're taking, right? Like, how do you want to be known? What story do you want to tell? Because the daily actions that you are doing today, compounded over these next 1, 5, 10 years, will write that story and will most importantly put you in a position where you want to be if executed properly. But going back to the point of across all of the different individuals I've interviewed, it goes back to that, right? Like, they don't talk about all the time just their wins and what they're doing today. It's about the setbacks, the things that almost put them out of business, that almost, you know, that maybe took them bankrupt. You know, I know Dave Meltzer talks about this all the time, right? Losing $100 million, all these different key points. And that's what is celebrated to him, right? Like, he talks about the struggles and what he had to go through that he's learned. And I think most importantly for me, and I'll quote Dave again, he says, don't pay the dummy tax, right? And I think it's something that throughout all the interviews you learn, or myself, I learned through storytelling. And I think listening to hundreds of stories of incredible individuals, entrepreneurs or musicians or authors, et cetera, you learn that everyone's writing their story. And to think inward, you need to really focus on how are you writing yours? Because if you don't think about it like that, I think it's very easy to get off track and to, you know, to be so obsessed with other people's lives, especially with social media nowadays, that just turning it off sometimes and putting pen to paper and asking yourself these deep questions, like, what am I building? Who do I want to become? You know, what do I want to be known for? What words do I want to use that describe me? And like thinking inward is very important to me when it comes to journaling and even just reflecting. So that's what I would say I've learned the most from a lot of my interviews is just everyone has a story. And most importantly, you know, don't necessarily celebrate the successes, but focus on things that made people who they are and the downfalls and, you know, the struggles that they've had to overcome.
All I got out of that was you're on absolute fire and you can't be stopped. So true.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love this, brother. I have a lot of love for you. And I feel an instant connection. Like the whole purpose of my show, right, is the big names everyone knows. But what was it like when they were at rock bottom? Like you just said, like, what was the mindset to ricochet off rock bottom? Like you mentioned Dave, right, went bankrupt and now back better than ever. So what? That's what makes it so relatable. And like you said, like everybody has a story. Nobody's career or life goes up in a straight line, right? There's ups and downs. What's relatable and tangible is how did they dig themselves out of some of the holes, right? So we don't have to pay all those dummy taxes and so forth. And regardless, we're going to have to experience stuff, even if we hear what to do. Sometimes we just have to kind of step into it, but that's what it's all about. And that's what makes these stories so relatable. And that's what makes it so cool to speak to all these legends and see they didn't always have it so easy and so forth. I love that you touch upon that.
Absolutely.
What was that? That's right. I can hear your thoughts. Have no fear. I'm going to tell you exactly where you can get weekly access to the CLS experience live in action. Drop in gems, nuggets, trainings, special celebrity and business mogul guest speakers, and maximum energy. We just launched the CLS membership. We have weekly Zooms with like-minded, growth-oriented juggernauts, networking and absorbing all the wisdom via weekly Zooms. Head to cultivatelastingsymphony.com and then bang, enter your new network today. Let's grow together. You dig?
Yeah. You mentioned mentors and stuff. Obviously, it's a big thing, right? Like it helps you. I don't want to say cut the line. That's not right. But like it helps you get places faster by utilizing wisdom and experience that young guys like you and myself might not have had. You've had a lot of mentors. Are all of them like direct, like you literally work with some of them, or are some of them indirect mentors, like just following them on social media and kind of seeing how they operate?
Yeah, that's an incredible question. And I think mentorship is such a key element to not only success, but keeping you on track, right? And I think for me, when I was just getting started with my journey, I had a misconception of really what a mentor was, right? You know, you read these books, you see things online, and I'm like, a mentor is someone that walks you through every phase. They, you know, they hold your hand, they put you in a good position and, you know, bring opportunities your way. That's not it at all, right? For me, when I think about mentorship now, there is many people in my life that act as mentors, and they might not even know it, right? And it's due to their actions, right? And I'll give a more tangible example, and this one's more hands-on, but the executive chairman of my company, MediaKits, his name is Aristotle Loomis, and I always love just giving this story some light because we met through my podcast about a year and a half ago. I interviewed him, and then after the fact, he just starts asking me questions and getting to know me, just actually being curious about who I am and what I'm doing in life, right? And that relationship has snowballed into something much more, which has turned into a year of late night phone calls and helping me with the governance structure of MediaKits and the fundraising process and the fundraising strategy and all the intangibles that you don't see on the outside of what goes into raising for a company and putting yourself in the best position for a company. Where I think of mentors and I'm like, Aristotle didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to go mentor this young, you know, young Casey Adams. And I didn't wake up one morning saying, hey, I'm going to go search for this guy, Aristotle, who's raised almost $100 million, and he sold his last company to Marcus Lemonis and then bought it back and ran his fund. Like all these incredible things that he's done, you know, you don't just wake up and say, I want that person as my mentor. Maybe some do, but I think mentorship, the more organic you find mentors in your life, the more they mean to me, especially where now Aristotle has turned into someone that is not only executive chairman of my company, but has helped bring money into the seed round and again, helped orchestrate all of that. But I tell that story because early on, a lot of the mentors that are still in my life happened just like that, right? Saying thank you in a DM and having someone on my podcast or maybe going out to lunch with them, and it's turned into something that, you know, I'm going through a situation and I want to get feedback from them and I can give them a quick call or send them a quick voice message and they get back to me. I think the most impactful mentors are the people that don't even realize that they're mentoring you and helping you because they're just genuinely curious and interested in being in and alongside you for your journey. And, you know, I think, again, me speaking to the young version of myself, it was like, how can I find a mentor? I need to find someone that can help me and help me in certain areas of life. It's like, no, you have multiple mentors for different areas of life, right? Like health, wealth, love, and happiness. Going back to what Ty Lopez talks about, like I still think about those four quadrants all the time because a mentor in business might not be a mentor for how I operate in my relationship or how I operate at the gym and in my health, right? So I think having a big group of people that you can lean into for different areas of life is very important because there's not going to be one person that knows everything that can help you excel in everything, right? Like you need to lean on experts in their field and use them to your advantage. But most importantly, bring value to them and make sure that in any relationship that it's not a one-way street. So for me, again, mentorship is so important, something that I lean into. I believe going back to superpowers, something that just popped in my mind is I believe one of my superpowers is being a student that learns, that listens, that has an open mind, and most importantly, executes with what the teacher in any sense is trying to tell me. And sometimes I might not agree with it. And, you know, that's my learning lesson of the day is, hey, you know, go with your gut on some things, right? But most importantly, like having the open mind to listen and to take into consideration what the teacher, and again, in any sense, is trying to teach, I think is very important because I think a lot of people get in their own way and close themselves off from opportunity by not listening, by not having an open mind and not being curious about the world, which is something that I know Larry King really drilled into me during that interview.
Yeah, that's beautiful, brother. I appreciate that. And a word that you use there that I want to reinforce is organic, right? Like it's easy to just find a mentor that's doing something successful, but you gravitated towards people who really like touched you, right? Like your soul. And that's who you want to kind of follow and get behind. And it just makes perfect sense. And obviously not a coincidence with you said, you know, someone who works within Media Kits and so forth. And speaking of Media Kits, obviously we got to land the plane with this. And again, I wish we had another 10 hours, but I'll see you soon. Talk about Media Kits a little bit. You mentioned it a lot, but like, what exactly is the deal with it? How do you possibly get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate it. So Media Kits is, again, a company I just launched. And what it is a software tool for creators of any kind, influencers, musicians, athletes, et cetera, to easily build a custom media kit online with real-time data and analytics. So overall, a media kit traditionally can be looked at as a resume, or in this case, a digital resume, or something that you use to pitch people your product, your services, and most importantly, who you are as an individual, right? So for me as a podcaster, to give you an example, I have a media kit when brands reach out to me and they want to see my numbers in social media and learn about my story, I'll send them my media kit. But a little background to bring it full circle, about 3 years ago, a co-founder and I had a good friend. He's an influencer in the automotive space, and a brand, Pennzoil, reached out to him and said, hey, can you send us your media kit? We'd love to do a deal with you. He ended up not having one. So he came to us and said, hey, can you guys make me a media kit? Cause we were in the marketing world, right? So we built him a media kit on Photoshop and send it over to him. He gets the deal. And really what was on that media kit was who he is, his Instagram handle, his followers, his quote unquote average engagement rate based on what we came up with. And then 3 months later, Ferrari contacted him and said, hey, Jeff, we'd love to fly you down to Daytona Beach, Florida to do a brand deal. Can you send us your media kit? So he comes to us and says, Guys, I had a video go viral during that period of time. All my numbers are outdated and wrong. Can you go update it and then send it back to me so that I can get this deal? So we're like, sure. And that's really when we had the idea. And it's simply, why isn't there a way for creators of any kind to build a media kit that never gets outdated, that is real time, that you can easily share through a link? So it didn't exist. And at the time, we didn't have the time or resources to do it. So we shelved it. And then about a year and a half ago now, towards like the middle of the pandemic, 2020, we had some extra time and we went all in on this idea that we had but didn't execute on. And that's when Media Kits was born. And, you know, the past year, year and a half came, you know, the initial 6 months were bootstrapping the company, bringing on the designers and a single developer. And then really at the beginning of 2021, during the end of Q1, we said, hey, let's go raise a seed round and really get some incredible people in our corner that can help us throughout this journey. So that's when we started raising for our seed round. And, you know, again, we just closed on our $1 million seed round, did the whole announcement. But most importantly, we launched our product August 11th. And so it's been like about 8 weeks now. And, you know, we were raising the round and then we stopped to do the launch and then we just finally closed it. But I have learned more in the past 6 months from business structure, from taxes, from, you know, just raising capital as an entity that's, you know, we're thinking about as a very high level venture scale company, where that level of knowledge is only accessible through the process that you go through, right? And I always ask myself, right, like, what do I want to learn? Like, what I just learned from raising capital at this stage of my life will compound for decades about how I think about business and raising capital for any venture, a future fund or another company. But most importantly, going back to Media Kits, we are so excited, not only for the tool, but to create an impact on the creator economy and to empower creators all over the world, because the first impression that you have with a brand is critical. And if you can present them something that is highly engaging with your real-time data and analytics, we hope that one day brands see that as they are now based on our data and say, wow, like, we have the most incredible media kit creation tool. And again, this isn't just for creators. It's for musicians. It's for athletes. It's for podcasters. It's for gamers. And we're excited to not only build the best tool, but to build a community of creators that want to continue to empower others in their community. And that's what Media Kits is doing.
Buddy, you're so passionate about this. It's seeping through. Awesome. That's how I know it's going to be super successful. Not because the concept is great, which it is, but the way that you're speaking about this thing, this is your baby. It's very obvious. You'll stop at nothing to make this thing work. And also, like, you're attacking something where people can use this, like, to benefit and to help them. And that's really what it's all about in business, right? Is being able to solve problems.
Absolutely. So we are very excited about it. And, you know, just to bring it full circle, if you want to go check it out, if you're listening, you're a creator, you're someone that's just, you know, starting to put out content on social media, or even if you're an athlete, or, you know, NCAA athletes are using Media Kits all the time now because they can now monetize their name, image, and likeness. But you can simply go to mediakits.com, sign up. It's completely free. And most importantly, if you have any questions, please reach out to me, reach out to our team at Media Kits on all social media platforms. And we'll be here to help you throughout the journey. And to most importantly, answer questions and really take in feedback. That's something that we emphasize so much. It's just, we want user feedback. We want to know what sucks about the product, what's incredible, what we should do more of, different ideas. Because at this stage of the business, you know, in any stage, hearing from your customers, and in this case, users, is what creates an incredible product. So that's what we're obsessed with.
Amen. And feedback is neutral. Like you said, it's not positive nor negative. It just is. And how can we improve it? So
yeah,
the way you articulated that, beautifully said. Where can everyone follow you personally on your incredible journey, which you're going to be on, God willing, for the next 80 years, because you're so young with the game. And I just got to say, you're so wise beyond your years. It's super impressive.
Thank you so much, Craig. So for everyone that's listening, the best place to reach me is definitely my Instagram. It's just at Casey. You can follow me there, shoot me a DM, say hello. I'm always checking my DMs. And then for the podcast, it's Rise of the Young on all platforms that you can find podcasts on. And if there's anything I can ever help anyone with, like, feel free to reach out to me. I think, you know, engaging with my community is very important to me. So reach out if you want to continue this conversation. And again, Craig, thank you so much for having me on today. This has been incredible.
Yeah, my pleasure, brother. And the CLS audience is super loyal and engaging. You're going to have thousands of new fans immediately. Should you guys go check out what Casey has going on? Absolutely no question. If you love the episode, what we ask is support it, take a screenshot, post it, share it, and tag Casey and I. Casey, I just want to say you the definition of resilience, grit, and heart from overcoming a painful traumatic neck injury and transitioning from Casey the football player to Casey the personal brand. You are an inspiration, role model, and beacon of hope for anyone coming up today with big goals and aspirations. I could personally guarantee your best is yet to come, and you have my word right here, right now. This is just the beginning of a very special relationship. Thank you so much for all your gems today, brother.
Thank you, Craig. It was my pleasure.
Have a great day. I'll see you in New York.
Perfect.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.